Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're not sure where 2 Corinthians is, it comes after 1 Corinthians. All right. Some of you got that. Some of you will get it on the way home this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we'll spend our time this morning in God's Word. And if you're a guest with us, let me say to you, week in and week out, we open God's Word and work through verse by verse what the Scriptures say, seek to understand what God is saying there in the immediate context, and then take that and apply it to our lives specifically to ask, how does what we read here change the way that we live our lives? That's the whole goal as we gather each week, is to sing praises to the Lord, have an opportunity to spend time in His Word so that when we leave here, we have our marching orders for the week ahead. As we look at the text this morning, we do so in the midst of a series that we've been walking through called God's Plan A. When we started at the beginning of this series, and if you need to catch up, you can always go back and listen online to those messages that came in previous weeks. We started at the beginning saying that God's plan A to change the world is His church. God's plan A to transform this world is His church, and that there is no plan B. That God has ordained His church to function in this society, in this culture, in this world, in such a way to point people to Jesus as the only hope for what it means to truly live life, to have hope for eternity. That's what we said at the beginning, and then we said, how do we seek to do what God's called us to do here at North River Church? See, it's one thing to say, here's what God has called us to do. God's called us to transform this world through this body of believers here at North River Church. But how do we actually accomplish that? What's the plan? What's the mission? How do we enact what we know God's called us to do? We said at the very second week of that series is that the first thing is we need to know Jesus in a personal relationship. So for every single one of us who is sitting here, the question lies before us, do we know Jesus? Do we have a personal relationship with Him? Have we ever come to the point in our life of admitting that we were a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ, based on His life, His death, and His resurrection, is the only one who can save us from our sin? That decision lies at every single one of our feet, and it's the greatest decision that any of us could make, to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so if you get nowhere else this morning other than just there, let me say to you, the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life is to have a relationship with Jesus. It's the greatest thing. There is nothing greater than that. We continue on and realize too, as we said last week, not only should we know Jesus in a personal relationship with Him, but we should also be growing in our relationship with Jesus. And how do we do that? We said last week that we grow in our relationship with Jesus, primarily here at North River Church, by plugging in beyond just sitting in rows on Sunday morning, which is wonderful, and I'm glad that you're here this morning, but going even deeper than that and getting involved in one of our life groups so that you can spend time doing life one-on-one with other believers that are gathered here this morning so that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is one of the greatest ways in which you can grow. And then we also said, not only growing in life groups, but also growing through serving. to recognize that God has gifted you in such a way that He wants to use you to impact this body of believers. We said that this really is a body, all of us coming together with different gifts, with different abilities, with different talents, and using those connected together so that we build up this body of believers called North River Church. That is how we grow in our relationship with Jesus. This week, we're going to look at the last point. To know Jesus, to grow in our relationship with Jesus, and then finally, to go and tell other people about Jesus. Jesus' mission that He gave His church was to make disciples of all nations. And so as we look at the text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, if you don't have a Bible, it will be up on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, at our Next Steps table, as you head out, grab one that's there. Take that home with you. That's our gift to you. We believe there's power in God's Word. We spend time in it every single week, and I'd encourage you, spend time in it every single day. Paul writes, beginning in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right minds, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for their sake and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that You would open our eyes that we would be able to see. That You would open our ears that we would be able to hear. That You would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to Your Word and to Your Spirit this morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. What we see this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has some backstory. You see, Paul had written the previous letter to this church that was located in Corinth. Corinth was not a nice city. Corinth, at that point in time, if you just kind of want to picture it in your mind, was essentially Las Vegas today. Sin City, right? That was Corinth. It was a pagan culture. It was not a great place. And yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ had pierced the darkness there in Corinth, and a church had been born. The gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, and people recognized their need for a Savior. And so a church was birthed there in Corinth. People were coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they were struggling because they were living in a godless culture. The culture was crashing in around them, and they struggled to maintain their purity and to maintain confidence and wholehearted devotion to the Lord in the midst of a culture that was running headlong as fast as it could towards the other direction. And so in Paul's first letter, Paul chastises this church lovingly, like you do as parents, right, with your kids. But you say, you're jacked up and you need help. That's essentially what Paul did in 1 Corinthians, writing to this church, saying to them, they need to understand how far from the Lord that they had been walking, and they needed once again to walk close and clean with the Lord. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, and the tone is a little bit different in 2 Corinthians. Paul is praising them because he's heard reports of the great things that God has done in their midst. As they were following him with wholehearted devotion, as they were continuing to reach out into the community in which they were in, and people were coming to faith in Christ, Paul is like a cheerleader on the sidelines, just waving the flags and rah, 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 go get them, go win more people to Jesus. And then we come in here as Paul has just closed out with a conversation. Because you see, what's interesting is that Paul was writing this from a position where he was suffering for following Jesus. And so some were looking at Paul outside of the church in Corinth and saying, listen, we don't need to listen to this guy. Don't you see what he's enduring? Don't you see what he's walking through? We don't want to hear what he has to say anymore. And yet Paul is going to address that here as we see in verse 11. If you're taking notes this morning, here's what I want you to write down. The main idea that's going to frame not only the series that we've been walking through, but this morning in particular, God's plan is to save us, to grow us to look like Jesus, and then to send us into the world to tell others about Jesus. Pretty simple, isn't it? God's plan is to save us from our sin, to grow us to look like His Son Jesus, and then to send us out into the world that He's called us to live in to tell other people what Jesus can do in their lives. That's the church. That's who we are. That's what He's called us to do. And as we look here, this is what He's going to specifically address. Let's look beginning in verses 11 through 15. Paul writes, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Here, Paul's addressing this little issue that was going on, that some were looking and saying, listen, Paul is not enduring great things right now. Let's not listen to him. Paul says here, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. The fear of the Lord compels me to persuade other people to follow Jesus. He says in verse 12, we're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Paul says, outwardly, things aren't going really well. You ever been there? But Paul says, what matters is not what's going on outside, but what matters is what's going on within the heart. And Paul says that his heart is compelled to tell others about Jesus. He says in verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, and that's a fancy way of saying if we're crazy, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. Why does it control us? Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So if you're taking notes, here's the truth I want you to write down that's summed up in verses 11 through 15. We should tell others about Jesus because we are compelled by his love for us. That's what Paul just said there. Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. Here's the thing. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've experienced the grace of God at work in your life to take you from being dead in your sins to being made alive through Christ and what He's done for you, the love of Christ should also compel you to tell others about what Jesus has done. See, here's the problem. Paul is looking at this situation and he's saying to those who are reading this, what else did you think we were going to do? I mean, did you really think that because of a little bit of persecution that had come on me and those that were with me, that we would simply shrink back from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, from sharing the hope that we found in Christ? Of course not, Paul says. Because we have experienced the love of Christ in our lives, and when we've experienced the love of Christ in our lives, we can't help but talk about it. We can't help but share what Christ has done. Paul here almost says that he is not even in control of himself. In fact, he says the love of Christ controls him. Let me just ask a simple question. Christian, does the love of Christ control you? Does the grace that you've experienced from what Christ has done in your life, does it control the things that you do? Does it control the people who you talk with? You see, here's the thing. Every single week, my promise to you remains the same. We're going to gather together. We're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to give, we're going to study God's Word. But here's the thing. I don't go home with you after this. Some of you are like, amen, right? I don't go to your workplace. Kids, I don't go to your schools. I don't go to eat with you at the restaurant. I don't go to the gas station and pump gas with you. I don't talk across the fence to your neighbor who lives next door. I don't go with you outside of here most of the time. But let me just ask, does the love of Christ, as you go, compel you within to tell other people about Jesus? If it doesn't, can I humbly submit to you that maybe you don't really grasp what Christ has done for you? Maybe you've gotten saved and you got over it. Maybe you just thought it was that one-time decision when I was a kid and now I can just kind of live my life the way that I want to live it. It's not really that big of a deal. But hear me this morning. If Jesus Christ has transformed your life, it's a big deal. If the grace of God has shown up in your life and taken you from the depths of hell where you should be to put you in a relationship with your Heavenly Father, that is an amazing transition.
And as a result of that, the love of Christ, what he has done for us, should compel us. Paul says here, I can't help but talk about what Jesus has done. Would that describe you? As you go to your workplace, as you go into your neighborhood, as your kids go and play on soccer teams and baseball teams and lacrosse teams and whatever else teams, as you go to the grocery store and someone walks your groceries out, and that only happens at Publix, doesn't happen at Walmart, right? But do you sense deep within you that because of Christ's love for you and what he's done in your life, that you can't help but say to your neighbor or your coworker or the person bagging your groceries, hey, do you know Jesus? Has Jesus changed your life? Have you experienced the grace of God in your life like I've experienced it in my life? See, here's the truth. The greatest source of missions that can happen in this church is every single one of you have trusted Jesus as your Savior to view where you go as your mission field, consecrated by God and gifted to you to reach people for Jesus. That when you leave here, your mindset is not, I just left church and now I go and live my life. Your mindset is, wherever I go, I bring the church with me. That's what Paul says, that the love of Christ compels him to do, because he's realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive people of their sins. So that if they'll believe in him, they can experience eternal life just like what Paul has experienced and just like those of us who have trusted Jesus have experienced. Paul continues on in verses 16 and 17. Let's look there. He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're taking notes, write down this truth and those two verses that we see. We should tell others about Jesus because we are convinced that he can change lives. Who is in your sphere of influence that you look at and you say, I don't know if God can change them? We all have people like that. We all have people that look, and maybe we've tried to share Christ with them and they've been hostile to us as a result of that. Or maybe they look at us and they say, you're absolutely crazy to believe that stuff. That's a fairy tale. Or maybe they've had a terrible experience with church in the past, and so they've wholesale just written off anything about Jesus. They look and say, I'm not interested because I've seen the dark side of what is behind the curtain. Here's the thing that Paul says in verse 16 and 17, that Jesus Christ can change anybody's life. There is not a person that you interact with day in and day out or week in and week out that Jesus Christ, if he grabs a hold of that person, can't change their life. Maybe you doubt. Maybe you say, Michael, I'm not sure about that. Consider just for a moment who's writing 2 Corinthians. His name's Paul. His name was previously Saul. And as we read through the book of Acts, we encounter Saul pretty early on in the life of the church. As the gospel is spreading, this man named Saul, who would later be Paul and pen much of the New Testament, He was a religious leader of the day, a Pharisee, and did not want Christianity to spread. And so he said, I will do everything within my power to stamp out Christianity, and I'll make it happen. And so that's exactly what he did. The first martyr that we see in the New Testament, Stephen. Saul was standing and holding the coats of the men who were stoning him and killing him. And then he left after that, energized, fired up, and was sent out to stamp out the name of Jesus, to take all of those who were trying to follow him and throw them in prison. That was his marching orders until he met Jesus. And on a Damascus road, Jesus Christ said, Saul, what are you doing? And he said, I don't know. And Jesus said, stop persecuting me. You know what happened? Saul met Jesus. And his name was changed to Paul, and he was the greatest missionary that we have ever seen. Why? Because Jesus Christ took him and transformed his life. So how could he write here that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He could write that because he had lived that. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you have lived exactly what Paul wrote. Jesus Christ took you dead in your trespasses and sins. You were an enemy of God. You were walking along with Satan in this world doing whatever your heart's desire was. You were God's enemy, deserving of his wrath. But Jesus Christ, because of his love for you, offered to you the gift of salvation so that you could receive it and your life be transformed. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come, which should give you hope. That no matter who you encounter in life, in your day in and day out journey, your neighbor, your coworker, your school friend, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ wants to change their life and he can change their life. But they need to hear about him. And you and I are the appointed people that Jesus has called and commissioned to tell them about him. We continue on in the text this morning, in verse 18 through 21. Paul writes, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Listen to this. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We who were separated from God needed to be reconciled with God, that is, made right with God, and that happened because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his resurrection, and because of the free gift of salvation that his death and resurrection provides for us. So as we said earlier, no longer are we God's enemies, but in fact, we are God's children. We've been reconciled with him, and he gave us a ministry. That ministry is reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Listen to verse 20. Therefore, we, those of us who have been reconciled with God, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is simply a representative of someone greater than themselves. An ambassador may be representing a country. We have ambassadors that go into countries throughout this world and represent the interest of the United States of America. That's their job. That's their responsibility. For us who are believers who are here this morning, we are ambassadors for Jesus. Jesus is greater than us, and yet He said to us, you have a mission. That mission is to be my ambassador. Okay? What message are we as ambassadors to deliver to those we encounter? We are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this. God making His appeal through us. Huh. What's God's appeal? That He can reconcile people to Himself. That He can take a sinner and make them a saint. That's God's appeal. So for us, our job is on behalf of Christ, as we encounter people that don't know Jesus, to say to them, you can know Jesus and have a relationship with Him. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him, that's Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So what message are we to deliver as we live as ambassadors in this world? The message is very simple, that people can trust in Jesus Christ and receive the gift of salvation that will save them from their sins and make them right with God. That's the message. It's a simple message, but it is a powerful message. And the question is, how does that message get to the people who need to hear it? If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the third truth. We should tell others about Jesus because we are committed to fulfilling His mission. How are they going to hear it? We're going to tell them. That's pretty easy, isn't it? You say, it's not easy though. Like, you don't know the people I have to interact with. You don't know the people that I deal with. You don't know the people that I go to school with. You don't know any of those things. And you're exactly right. I don't know the people that God has placed in your life that need Jesus. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. Be a person that you go to school with. But here's what I do know. The greatest chance of them hearing about Jesus is you. And if we don't tell them, they may not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that can change their lives. You want to know what's going to grow North River Church? People's lives being transformed by Jesus. And I can't do it for you. But I can challenge you and challenge myself at the same time to consciously look and ask the question, who are the people that God has placed in my life? Whether coworker or neighbor or friend or schoolmate or whatever the context may be. Who has God placed in my life that needs to hear about Jesus? I can assure you this morning, you have people's names popping into your head right now. The simple question follows, Will you be faithful to tell them about Jesus? He said, Michael, I don't know what to say. You know what Jesus did in your life. You know your story of how Jesus Christ transformed your life. Just tell them about that. Just say, I know this may sound crazy, but Jesus changed my life. Let me tell you how. And then as you get to the end of the story and their eyes are big and they're like, you need help. You look and say, he can change your life too. So I want to encourage you this morning as we come to the end of our time together to bow your heads, close your eyes, and our worship team will make their way back up. But I want to issue a challenge to you this morning. And this is a challenge to you, but ultimately it's between you and the Lord. But with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, just think, what name pops into your head today? The person that you work with or that lives next door, that goes to school with you, or serves you at a restaurant. I want to encourage you, to challenge you, to take an opportunity this week to ask the Lord, even right now, to give you an opportunity this week to tell them about Jesus. To give you the boldness that when that opportunity comes your way, that you'll take advantage of that opportunity, that you'll be faithful to tell them about Jesus. That the Holy Spirit of God would be at work in their lives even now, preparing them for that conversation. Make that commitment this morning, that when we gather back together next week, that we'll have had a couple of hundred conversations spread out across this room with people who don't know Jesus, who need to know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I plead with you this morning, be reconciled to God. Place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished through His death and His resurrection, that makes it possible for you to be forgiven of your sins, to become a child of God this morning. Father, we ask today that you would light the fires here that will spread throughout this community, that over this next week that hundreds of gospel conversations will happen. Hundreds of people will hear who Jesus is and what He's done in our lives and what He can do to change their lives. You've called us to be your ambassadors. May we be faithful this week. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.